Father, I thank you, Lord, for all your children that are here today. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you because we know that where two or three are gathered, you're there. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine our hearts this morning. Give us revelation and understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church, even at this time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, a quick recap from yesterday. We talked about the promise that Jesus gave, or declaration that he gave, about his sheep knowing his voice, hearing and following him, and not following a stranger, because they know not the voice of strangers. So we're going to start there today. And then I mentioned yesterday a dozen different ways that the Lord speaks to people. We're going to cover them. I think I covered just one part yesterday. We'll cover all the different ways. The intent being, well, you know, God is already speaking to you in one or more of these different ways. You got to figure that out. Once you understand it, it'll be easier for you to answer the question. The question that many people ask is, what is God's purpose for my life? Or is this thing that I'm doing actually God's will or God's purpose? And so on and so forth. You know, this question is something that stays with people for a long time. And sometimes people spend, you know, weeks, months, even years trying to figure this out. So these lessons will deal with that. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus declared, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's a beautiful, beautiful promise. And he also assured us the reason why it is impossible for anyone to pluck us out of his hand, because he said, well, you are in my Father's hands. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And no one can pluck them out of my Father's hands. So we have this great assurance. And then we jump back to, verses 4 and 5 in the earlier part of the verse. And it talks about when the good shepherd puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep always know the voice of the shepherd. So nobody should be saying, well, I don't know if the Lord is speaking to me or not. You should know his voice if you are part of his sheep. And these lessons will help us recognize his voice. And a stranger, we will not follow. We'll flee from a stranger. So there are a lot of strange voices. We shouldn't follow any of those voices. To flee from them. Now, we talked about, the assurance that Jesus gave when he was talking to his disciples, in saying that, look, ye who are evil by nature, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? And if your children will ask you bread, will you give them stone? If they ask for egg, will you give them a scorpion? Or if they ask for fish, will you give them a serpent? If you will not do that, then, well, you also should know that your Heavenly Father, when you ask him, he will give you. If you're asking God to show you his way, that's the answer you will get. You will not get deception from the devil. It's very clear. So let's arm ourselves with that confidence. You will not walk in darkness, Jesus said, John 8 and 12. You will have the light of life. And everyone that asketh, moreover, he said, in Matthew 7:7-8, everyone that asketh receiveth. Say, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh. So if you're asking to know God's will, you will get the answer. Now, we need to go in with that confidence rather than a shaky mind. And say, well, I don't know if the Lord's talking to me, or I don't know if what I'm doing is from the Lord or not. Well, let's figure out how to be better assured. Praise the Lord. There are many important ways that the Lord uses to speak to his people. In it all, the Lord wants us to understand his will. Ephesians 5:17. These are some of the verses we covered yesterday. You know, it is important for us to be wise in understanding the will of the Lord. And again, you know, how do we discern God's voice among so many? 1 Corinthians 14:10. We talked about all the voices of distraction that will try to confuse us. We got to be able to figure out which of those voices which of those voices is the voice of the Lord. You know, so, and no one is immune to all these other voices. We see that even the devil came and spoke to Jesus, when he wanted to tempt him to do this and that. But Jesus defeated him by the word. So, the number of ways in which God speaks to his people, there are several. I've got at least 12 that I want to talk about. Yesterday we covered God speaking directly to his people in the Old Testament. And so we gave examples of the ways that he spoke to people. And the key point that I was trying to bring out yesterday was that these people were, for the most part, ordinary people. And yet, God came and spoke to them. I mean, they were no better than us. They were just ordinary people. With the exception of Adam, who was special in the fact that, you know, before the fall, he had the fullness of God's spirit inside of him. All the others that God spoke to, they were ordinary people. Some of them were good, righteous people like Noah. We told that he was a righteous man. He walked before God and he obtained favor from God. But yet, he was an ordinary man. He had a wife, he had kids, and so on. Just living an ordinary life. But he walked before God and he heard the voice of God. Abraham was an ordinary man. He wasn't even trying to know the Lord, I don't think, because he was living in the midst of, unbelievers and so forth. And, among those who didn't know the Lord. But yet God called him. Jacob, you see how God tremendously spoke to him, gave him wisdom. Moses, how God called him and spoke to him. David himself, we're told, his own case was kind of special too, just like Moses. Moses always wanted to know God's ways. David wanted to know God's ways. And so God, these people asked and the Lord spoke to them. Moses said, show me thy way that I may know thee. Well, he asked and God came to him and spoke to him. Powerful way that the Lord revealed himself to him. This was even beyond the one when God called him when he wasn't even, trying. God called him in Exodus chapter 3. So he had been running away from Egypt and had tried to put that life behind him for 40 years and God called him. And later on in his life in Exodus 33, we see how he wanted to know more of God. And he said, Lord, speak to me. Show me your way. And if you don't even show me your way or go with me, I don't even want to go anywhere. And he, in his heart, he really wanted to know the Lord. Well, the Lord came and showed it to his ways, showed him his ways. Even in Exodus 34, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord God. And he told him and declared his own name to him. That's a powerful revelation because he wanted to know. And we see how God was always answering the people. David he wanted to know. Every time the people wanted to know, God answered them. David inquired of the Lord. We covered some of those places yesterday. He inquired of the Lord one time. He would inquire the Lord again. Sometimes the Lord would say, go. Sometimes the Lord would say, don't go. But do this and do that. And so in all these cases, we saw how God spoke to his people directly. Now, that was number one. Number two, I want to see how much of this I can cover. The written word of God. We spoke about this quite a bit also yesterday, how that it is the final arbiter for everything. Well, it's even the beginning, but also the ending. Because now we have the benefit of the written word of God. You know, it's been a lot of things have been compiled for us in this book that is called the Bible. And so we have that. It is the evidence of God speaking to his people throughout the generations. Things he spoke, things he did, those he moved upon to write. It's all contained in this book. So we have a lot of reference material. And you can always go there. And as a matter of fact, you know, you can go to the Bible for God to speak directly to you through it. If you have a question and you can't find the answer in the Bible, you don't need that answer. Praise the Lord. That's the way I put it. You know, it's kind of like if you think you need something and God can't give it to you, you don't need that thing. It's that simple. You know, so if there's something we're looking for, an answer to something, and God has nothing to say about it in the Bible, then you don't want to know it. Let's just put it out. I want to put that one out today. If God has nothing to say about it, then you don't want to know. Because if you need to know, God would have said something about it. It is, the Bible is that comprehensive. And I can, you know, vouch for it because all my life, I always would find something in the Word of God. When I want to know something, when I want to ask something, when I want to whatever, always I would look for something in the Scriptures that relates directly to that. And that's one way that God can speak directly to you because he's already addressed the subject. Praise the Lord. And his word is beautiful for every situation. The word of God is eternal forever, O God. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Your word is settled in heaven. Your prayer and mine should be, Lord, let it also be settled in my heart. You know, to know that God's word is sure. I mean, there are many things that God himself spoke about his word. He said, my word will not return to me void. It's going to prosper in the thing where I'm to ascend it and, you know, do all my pleasure. So, the word of God, powerful, powerful way that he speaks to us. The written word, that is, Psalm 119, verse 105. And he says, well, you know, thy word is a lamp to my feet where I'm standing. I will not stand in darkness as long as I have your word. And even it will shed light in the path ahead of me, the direction and things that I'm trying to do. When you're trying to say, well, what should I do? Where should I go? The word of God will shed light on it. A light to my path. A lamp to where you're standing and a light to the path ahead of you. The word of God has the capacity to do that. Isaiah 8:20 gives us the rule that we must follow. In as we are trying to discern God's voice in all these different ways that we'll be talking about, the basic, fundamental, and, you know, foundational rule is that we must check it out against the word of God, to the law and to the testimony, Isaiah 8 and 20. If they speak not according to this word, or if the voice speaks not according to the word, or whatever, then you should know that it is not from God. And there's no light in it. And you should get away from it. And I said yesterday that, when you hear someone say anything, it may be they're trying to, portray the word of God. They're preaching, teaching, or even telling you something which they say is from the Lord, or even your mind, or wherever it might come from. It doesn't matter. If it's not according to the word, it is not of God. Get away from it. For instance, if the voice or the revelation brings fear, it's not from God. Because the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. So anything that genders, because fear has torment. God doesn't torment his people. If the voice or the dream or the vision, we talked about those yesterday briefly, I will go deeper into them. If whatever it is that's trying to convey a message to you purportedly from the Lord, if that generates fear, it's not from God. even if there's a bad thing revealed in the dream to happen, if it's from God, there will be no fear. There will be boldness for you to deal with that thing. Maybe just a word of caution. God give instruction behind you what to do, but there will be no fear. The devil is the one that uses fear as a gateway to try to oppress our minds and cause us to lose our confidence in the Lord. So that's something, a principle that you should hold dear to yourself. The entire Bible, not just one part of it. That's why, in using the word of God as a source of God's voice to you, you've got to use the entire Bible. I mean, that doesn't mean, I'm not saying that when you're looking for God to tell you something, you have to read Genesis to Revelation before you find it. No. But I'm saying, compare scripture with scripture. Don't just pick some one verse out of context and then you run with it. No, because the word of God will not contradict itself. So you got to compare scripture with scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, Deuteronomy 8:3, but by every word of God. Again, by the mouth of two witnesses and so on. So, when you read something in the Bible, read some more. God will confirm it. We almost always hear under principle concerning using the word of God for guidance in our lives. Whether it's the written word, which is what we're talking about now, and even the spoken word, but first the written word. If we do not, obey the written word, which God has already given us, then you cannot expect the spoken word. Because God will say, look, I've already spoken to you. It's like the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man fared sumptuously. Lazarus, had sores all over his body. Even dogs were licking his, not the Lazarus, who is the mother, who's the sister of, brother of Mary and Martha. This was another Lazarus, and they both died, the Bible says. One was carried to Abraham's bosom, and the other, lifted up his eyes in torment in hell. But the one that was in hell, that was a remarkable thing that we learned from that story. Because when he figured out he was in a place of torment, he said, send Lazarus to come and, give me some relief here. Abraham said, we can't. We cannot cross over because there's a great gulf between you so that you can't come and we cannot go over there. And said, okay, in that case, and send him to my brothers who are still living. Tell them and warn them so they don't come into this place of torment. And here is the revelation. Abraham said, they have Moses, a law and the prophets. They have the written word. Some revelation is not going to help them if they don't obey the written word. if someone comes from that dead, even, it's not going to help them because they already have the scriptures. You know, so, you know, sometimes we've heard that people, you know, some people say they passed away, they give revelation of what they saw and so forth. And a lot of people rejoice. The only people that impacts are believers already. It doesn't impact anybody who is not a believer. That's not how God preaches to unbelievers. The way God preaches to unbelievers is through these scriptures. That's it. Not some dream, not some experience that somebody had. I don't care how valid the dream was. If they have the scriptures and they don't obey, then, you know, the Lord said through Abraham, well, you know, they're not going to believe, even if one came from the dead. So, you know, let us know that as that is how great the word of God is. It's above even anyone come from the dead, above any revelations, above an angel or anything. You know, even Paul said, look, if an angel or anybody, you know, speaks something contrary to this word, let him be accursed, you know. So the word of God is so, you know, it's so important. That's the one that God has given us to check all things out. You can read that story for yourself. I paraphrase it without reading it, but it's in Luke chapter 16, where, you know, I talked about this story that I just said. And if they have the scriptures of Moses and the rest, Abraham said, if they don't believe that one, and there's nothing else they will believe. It's not going to help them even if somebody came to them from the dead. So, we know that to be true. Praise the Lord. Let me read this, just one verse out of that story to you. Abraham said to the man, you know, in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. That's all the writings of Moses and the prophets. Let them hear those, you know. He said, but if, you know, then the man argued, but if somebody went to them from the dead, they will repent. If, you know, we get some revelation, you know, then we know, you know, God's will. No, you have the word of God already. Praise God. If you do not obey the written word, you cannot be a candidate for the Rhema. Rhema must go to those who already obey the Logos. Logos is given to everybody already. So Rhema is a higher definition that may be more refined, but if you don't obey what you already have, you don't consider the word of God as long as you say it doesn't matter. Some people read the scripture and say that doesn't matter. Well, then don't expect God to speak to you if you have the attitude that the word of God doesn't matter. He's not going to waste his time speaking to you because he already spoke to you in the scriptures, but you say it doesn't matter. Then you are crying for something else. You're not going to get anything. Go read the scriptures. Jesus said in John 5 and 39, search the scriptures. That's right. You got to search the scriptures. It is inside of them. You know, these are the scriptures that testify of me. Just search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. So go search the scriptures already. So that's how powerful the word of God is. Now, God told Joshua, Joshua 1, 8 and 9, this book of the law cannot depart out of your mouth. You meditate upon it day and night. It be your guidance. And, you know, it will even give you good success. You have good success. I mean, whatever you do, it's all, the way to good success is in this book. The way to becoming more like God, it's in this book. Elements that teach us, you know, how to, you know, function and be like God, like the fruit of the Spirit and all those things. It's all in here. You know, the commandments of the Lord to lead us to righteousness is in here. how to get leading from the Lord. It's even in here, as we are told about many ways of how the Lord will lead us, like be led of the Spirit. It's in here. And then some of these other things that we see, that's why I'm using examples from the scriptures. I'm not just telling you personal experience. I want you to see it that's in the Bible. Even though, yes, I can tell you personal experience. I experienced in many of, at least what? Let me say several of these areas, how God speaks to somebody. But I'm not going by that. I'm telling you the scriptures. You can see how he did it. So that's number two. God speaks to us through the Bible. Now, the Bible, how was the Bible itself written? Well, you know, scriptures tell us that, look, no scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God moved, you know, I mean, spoke as they were moved of the Holy Spirit. And as after they spoke, they wrote these things. You know, some of them, you know, some of the prophets had scribes and different things, and, you know, but the word was spoken and then written. So now that we have it, well, you must see the word of God as it is. Second Peter chapter 1, you know, verse 20 tells us, you know, scripture is not of private interpretation. The source of scripture is from the Lord, divinely inspired. You must see the scriptures like that. If you don't, and then you are praying for God to speak to you some other way, no. You must first of all revere the written word of God that God has already given us. And then you become a candidate for the spoken word. Again, all scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You can't pick and choose. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, do nothing by preferential treatment. You know, don't say, I like this one, I don't like that one, concerning the doctrine of Christ. Everything, you know, that God has spoken, we must take with the same seriousness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You want to know what God is saying? It's in the scriptures. It's profitable for reproof and correction. It's there. It's profitable for instruction. You know, if God wants to, you want God to lead you, it's all there. All scripture is profitable for these things, and it will help you make you thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I mean, I cannot say enough. I can stay on the, you know, the, this number two one, which is, you know, the written word of God. I can stay on it for hours, you know, but I got to move on. Now, there's a story, you know, that God, I always refer to it, and in the Old Testament, God always used to tell people, obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. Because that's how he first dealt with them, he spoke to them. The commandments that he wrote on the tables of stone, it was like an indication of their hearts, but their hearts were stone. So that commandment, you know, it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The word was written on tables of stone. Their hearts were tables of stone. They didn't receive it. So God said in Jeremiah 31, he said, well, the days come that I'm going to write my laws in their hands, in their hearts rather, because when I did try to write on tables of stone and give it to them, their hearts were turned to stone. And they didn't do it. So I'm going to write it in their hearts this time, you know. So, but the invitation of God for them to follow him, obey his word, obey my statutes, do, you know, all that I command you. They said, we will not do it. We can't take it. Go speak to us. I mean, let God speak to you, and then you speak to us. See, and I've often said that's so tragic. Anybody that doesn't want to hear from God, that's a tragic, tragic loss, because his voice is what guides you through life. Some of that voice will come to you audibly come to you in the still small voice. All these ways come to you in dream visions, but mostly it has already been spoken and written to you in the Word of God. Now, you can find that story in Exodus 19, verses 5 to 8, where God gave them the invitation and instruction to obey His voice, and that He wanted them to be a kingdom of priests, people who hear directly from God. At first they said, "We will do it. All that you said we will do, that we should do, we will do." But later on, when they actually saw and heard some phenomena around God and heard His voice and the thundering and so forth, in Exodus 20 verses 18 to 21, they removed afar off. They wanted no part of the Word of God. Say, "We can't do that. We can't hear His voice. We will die if we hear His voice." But you will die if you don't hear His voice. That's right. Because the voice is life. You must hear His voice. What are we going to do if we don't? We need a word from You, Lord. What will we do if we don't hear from You? These people must have been, instead of them yearning to hear from God, they wanted no part of God. And you saw all that befell them. You know, so that was a serious lesson for us. There was a time that God instructed John in the Isle of Patmos. Jesus came to him and said, "All the things that you have seen, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things that are yet to be. Write them in a book and send them to the seven churches." And Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. That was God sending a writing directly to the churches. Again, proof of the how it is so important that we take the written word of God. First spoken, then written. Jesus spoke to John and told him to write it. So he heard it and he wrote it and he sent it to the churches. And that's the same way that the Bible was given. Spoken, written, and now we have it. So that's the number one source of how God will speak to you today. All right, let's move on. Then we have the companion to God's written word is God's spoken word. You know, that's the companion. Yeah, got, you know, the written word on one side, the spoken word on the other side. But the spoken word cannot contradict the written word. We call the spoken word Rhema. We call the written word Logos. And, you know, they walk hand in hand. How does the spoken word come to us? Through the Holy Spirit. That's right. Holy Spirit. And what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? He had a lot to say to us about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. He spoke to us about when the Holy Spirit comes, what He would do. Verses 16 to 17. And also, in fact, verses 15 to 17 and also verse 26. Let's read some of it. The Holy Spirit, that's another way that Rhema comes to us. So we've talked about God, you know, speaking directly to His people. They didn't know God as the Holy Spirit in the old days. They just knew Him as God, you know, and He spoke to those people. Okay. In our days now, we have many of these means by which God will speak to us. We've seen the written word. Now I'm talking about the spoken word, which will come to you by the Spirit of God. You know, here is what Jesus had to say regarding the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, well, Romans will tell us that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we really need to be praying and asking God to help us understand how to receive the Holy Spirit, because He already gave it, you know. So, and if anybody needs help about that, maybe we'll cover that, you know. But today I'm talking about this Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. Said, "I, you know, look, if you love me," let's start in John 14 and 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. So I've often said that Holy Spirit was never given to the world. That's God's gift to the church. Because Jesus says here, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, is God's gift to the world. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave Jesus to the world. On the other hand, Holy Spirit is given to the church. Now, so if Holy Spirit is given to the church as your personal comforter, your personal guide, then we need to figure out how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's part of what this lesson is about. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, verse 26 of John 14, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. See? Now, you want to know anything? What is your will, Lord, for me? What shall I do? Where shall I go? Is this thing I'm doing? Is it your will? Any question that you have, Jesus said it here. It's a blanket statement. The Holy Spirit shall teach you all things. All things. Hallelujah. He will even bring to your remembrance. You know, sometimes you say, well, I don't remember that dream. I don't remember that. Holy Spirit will bring it to you. Praise God. Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. You know, sometimes the Lord will just put in your mind something. You know, there's always this check. Some people call it gut check. There's this check, you know, inside of you to say, don't do that. You know, and the Holy Spirit will just bring to your remembrance. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't behave like that. Holy Spirit is always there. You know, it's like that barometer. It's always checking. You know when, you know, that's not right. This is good and so forth. You know, he speaks to us. Holy Spirit, Jesus said. In John chapter 15, he also spoke about what the Holy Spirit will do. This is the role of the Holy Spirit in leading us through our lives. You know, John chapter 15, we see what Jesus said in verse 26. Now, here are some things more that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. What he shall do when he comes. What are the things he will do? First, we read that he will teach you all things and so on. You know, here's what we read again about him. The Comforter is come, who I will send from to you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. He will reveal me to you. You want to know the will of God? You want to know anything about the Christ? You want to know? The Holy Spirit will show you. That's what Jesus said here. Now, ye also shall bear witness. Again, you see the identity of Christ and the Father, you know, here intertwined. In one place he said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. In another place he said, whom I will send to you from the Father. In yet another place he said, whom the Father will send in my name. it's like whichever way you look at it, you can't hide it from the real elect. They know that Jesus and the Father are one. John 10 and 30. The Holy Spirit also is the one that will reveal that to you. So, Holy Spirit is given to us to guide us through life. And I love this part in John 16, verses 12 to 14. This is some of the greatest roles, you know, of the Holy Spirit in our life relating to this subject. You know, Jesus said, look, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, that was then, you know. But he said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, he's not the Spirit of error, it's the Spirit of Truth. He will never lead you into error. When the Spirit of Truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Anything you want to know, he will guide you into it. That's the Holy Spirit. He shall not speak of himself. Whatever I shall hear, he shall speak. He will show you things to come. You want to know, you know, what's it going to be like? Where should I go? What's in the future for me? Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it to you. You know? And he will take the things of God, show them to you. Holy Spirit, that's his role. So, and remember, Jesus said it. The Holy Spirit will not give you stone when you are looking for bread. So we need to have this confidence, you know, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and we will know his voice. And we won't follow, you know, some random thing. Holy Spirit will clearly make it known unto you. So these are some of the things that Jesus said, and that's about Holy Spirit speaking to us as the Rhema. Rhema can come in many ways. God's voice can speak directly to you. He can also speak through someone. You know, most of the time he speaks to you when you are in worship, during praise and worship, even in a congregation, during praise and worship. There's a time for everything in the church setting. There's a time for praise and worship. There's a time for ministering of the word and so on. God speaks to us through all those things. Even testimonies, God will speak to you through that. During that praise and worship section, God will speak to you and can even speak to the congregation, you know, through that. But he will speak to you anytime that you are, even in your home, your own personal lives, whether not even when you are necessarily in the congregation, when you are in praise and worship, you will be able to hear the voice of the Lord more clearly. Praise will do that for you. Now, that's another way that God speaks to us. But like we said yesterday, if you hear a voice, whether it's internal, external, or however, you must always check it against the written word. That's a good principle so that you don't go astray. Always use the written word of God, because this written word of God is balanced. And you got to check whatever other voice against the word of God. Praise the Lord. We saw some ways. That was number three. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels and various things, we saw how Jesus himself called some people. Now, some people say, what's the calling of God in my life? People confuse that with career. They confuse that with, you know, what am I going to do? Where am I going to live? And so on and so forth. If God wants to call you for something specific, cover this already when we're dealing on his eternal purpose. He will call you. You don't need to be worrying about whether he will call you or not. If he wants to call you, he will call you. You know, when he wanted to call Samuel, he called Samuel. Even when Samuel didn't know anything about it, he ran to somebody else, thought it was Eli calling him. God called him anyway. And, you know, Eli finally taught him, well, that's God. That must be God calling you. Here's what you do next time. Say this, say that, and so on. You know, but God will call you. When he wants to call you, he will call you. So you don't need to spend a whole lifetime wondering what it is that is your calling. You know, and I put that calling in quotes. Your calling, if God wants to call you, Romans 11:29, is also without repentance. God will call you. Saw all the people that he called. So Jesus called his disciples. Matthew 4:18-22. These people were just, some of them were out fishing, doing various things. They were not waiting around to be called. They were just doing whatever they were doing. And when Jesus wanted to call them, he called them. You know, so that's an answer to you if you're waiting around trying to know God's calling. Be doing, you know, whatever it is that you are doing. But be ready to surrender and give God permission. That's all is needed. I mean, those people drop their nets. You know, they were not sitting around waiting to be called, but when he called them, they dropped their nets and followed him. So if God wants to call you for any specific thing, he will show it to you. He will call you. He will tell you. And he's patient like that. I mean, we saw it throughout the Bible, the Old Testament. He was patient with Samuel. You know, kept calling him. Samuel kept running someplace else. He was patient with him. Kept calling him still until he figured it out. And Gideon, when God came to him and told him something, and he was challenging because he didn't know it was the voice of God, God was patient with him. He will be patient with you, and you will figure it out. So never doubt that. Praise the Lord. You got to know that if he wants to call you, he will call you. Praise the Lord. Now that's wisdom for us here today. And, you know, the scripture says, well, Adao called being a servant, or being a free man, or being this, or being that. You know, worry about it. You know, whatever state that you are in, there, when you are called, therein abide with the Lord. What does that mean? And I want to explain that. You know, is, look, you may already be something, doing something, and God called you there. This one is calling you to Christ. It's really what this one is. 1 Corinthians 7:21 says, look, are you called being a servant? Can't offer it. You can't say, you know, are you called being a student? Are you called being in law school? Are you called being in med school? I mean, you might have met the Lord during law school. You can't say, oh, now Jesus has called me. I'm going to drop everything because he called Peter to follow him. So some people in error have done that. That may not have been God's call for you. You just read the scripture in error. You know, if he wants to call you, he will make it plain. There's no confusion from God. You know, and 1 Corinthians 7:21, Paul clearly laid out this principle by the Spirit of God. He laid it out. You know, whatever calling you are called, therein abide. You know, are thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. He that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he that called being free is Christ's servant. So are you called being whatever the career is that you're in? Are you called being a lawyer? Are you called being a teacher? Are you called being an engineer? Are you called being a doctor? Are you called being this and that and this and that? Worry about it. You know, that thing that you are is not necessarily a calling. But you could be called even while you are doing that thing, you know. So let's not confuse our career with our calling. It's a career. Maybe a fisherman, that's your career. That's not necessarily your calling. Whatever God calls you to be, which we are all called to be saints. That's number one calling for everybody. You know, we are called to be saints. In other words, come and follow me, Jesus said. You know, that's the first calling for every one of us. We cannot say, oh, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a this or that. You know, so, you know, these things they're not for me. This is too religious. It's over my head. I've heard people say things like that. No. All of us are called to be saints. Romans 1:7. He wrote to these people and said, well, you are called to be saints. To all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So we are all called to be saints. That calling is for everybody that's in Christ. There's no separation there. We are all called to be saints. And you are saints right now, while you are still living, not when you get to heaven according to Catholic religion. No, you are saints right now. Paul wrote to the saints that were at Ephesus. He wrote to the saints that were at Colossae, to the saints that were at Philippi, the saints that are in Rome, scattered throughout everywhere. The saints, they're already living, and yet they are saints because they were called to be saints. Now, that's number one calling for everybody. But the one that people struggle about I mean, with is, you know, what will God have me do? You know, so people, you know, say that that's the calling they are looking to God for. Well, yeah, that's a good thing. And we must do that. But it's not only in one thing. We should actually always look to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he should direct your paths. What does that mean? Well, that means, you know, don't try to say you have all the answers, but trust him to guide you. We'll talk more about that when we get to how God can even lead you through circumstances. But, you know, God will, what he wants, he will make it known to you. If he wants to tell you, he'll make it known to you. You know, there's one place in the Bible when Saul of Tarsus was met by Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And, you know, after the Lord arrested him like that and told him you can't kick against the pricks, you know, then, you know, he said, well, what would thou have me do, Lord? And that question has led people to sitting around and saying, what would I have me do? You know, because of that question. Well, you know, and as I've said repeatedly, God wants to get a hold of you. He will get a hold of you. Now, for our plans in our life, it is better and advisable by the Spirit of God for you to seek God's will rather than make the plan and tell God to bless it. And this is the reason why God prayed this prayer, lead me, Lord. And it's a good prayer. And he will guide you. But even if you're not getting direction, even if you're not, because sometimes the voice of God is very clear. You know, sometimes it looks like you sit in darkness, but you will never sit in darkness. Micah said, look, there are times when I fall down, I will arise. Micah 7 and 8. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. When you sit in darkness is when it seems as if you are not hearing God's voice. You're crying, God, show me, show me. But he's not he's saying anything. Sometimes he's right there. And sometimes it's like he can't hear his voice. What's going on? You know, but either which way, you know, we've got to trust the Lord. Whether I speak to you in the way you think, you know, most of the time the reason that people say, I can't hear his voice, it's because they are looking for God to speak in a certain way. He may already have spoken to you some other way, you know. And say, well, I can't hear his voice. You know, I'm praying, I'm not hearing. But maybe there was a day you were praying and God spoke to you audibly. Maybe there was a day you were praying and God gave you a vision or a dream. You know, or maybe, you know, and then sometimes you don't see a vision, you don't see a dream. And then you say, I can't hear his voice. And then you are troubled. Sure, you can hear his voice. Now, many ways. That his voice comes. And all these ways that we are describing here, you may be using some other way during the time you think you're not hearing his voice. Maybe using some other way to talk to you. Because God is not a one-way traffic. You can't put God in a box and say, you know, we say things like you should know the way God talks to you. That's fine. But God can talk to you some other way, which he hasn't talked to you before. You know. So, generally speaking, we advise people to seek to know how God talks to them. That's a good thing. But, you know, don't let that, you know, derail you from knowing his voice. Because that's something that confuses people. If they are used to seeing visions or dreams, and then now they don't see visions or dreams, they say, God's not speaking to me anymore. How do you know that? There's all these other ways by which he can speak to you. He can speak to you through his word. And so many other ways, you know, which we will discover in these lessons. So let's not be confused about that. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, mostly, very rarely in the New Testament, but mostly in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. But we saw some of it in the New Testament, even the book of Revelation. We saw Peter in Acts chapter 12. We saw Paul in Acts chapter 27. The angel of the Lord spoke to them. But more so in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord come to them, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, angel of the Lord. We don't have that so much in the New Testament, especially since Pentecost. Because now we have the Holy Spirit. So there is nearly, you know, no need too much for the angel of the Lord to come. But they are around you. They are doing God's bidding. They have their orders. Their orders are see to it that you take care of business when they declare my word. You know, so they are there, but they may or may not bring you a message. You know, some people, you know, I've even heard people say, you know, pray that you get an angelic visitation. What kind of stuff is that? There's no such thing in the Bible. You know, I mean, there's a lot of religious stuff that we put upon ourselves, you know, that, you know, I'd rather the Lord should visit me than the angel. What did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, I will send an angel to visit you if you are keeping my word? Say, no, I will come to you. John chapter 14, verses 21 to 23. You know, if you have my commandments and keep them, you are the person that loves me, and I will love you. You'll be loved of my Father, and we will come and make our abode. You say we send an angel. I will come to you. That's right. But sometimes we pray, oh God, give me an angelic visitation, because those are religious experiences that we had, and so we latch onto those, you know. But you know, some prayers we pray, you may or may not get an angelic visitation. If he chooses, he may. But you know, that's not the prayer that we should be praying. Holy Spirit is with us now. Hallelujah. We need to develop an understanding of the Holy Spirit, his ways, his methods, and, you know, communication with him. Not to be looking for an angel here and there. You know, it's the same mentality that makes people to look for a prophetic word from this person, prophetic word from that person. Whereas you already have the Holy Spirit, and God can use those things, and he does use those things. But like I said yesterday, it's because you're not paying attention. If you yourself were paying attention, God will speak directly to you. And whatever he tells somebody else to tell you, that's not the first time that God told you. You know, unless you don't have his spirit. And if you have not his spirit, then you are none of his. So, you know, God already told you, but you're not paying attention, or you are obstinate, or, you know, so on. God wants to help you, then he would tell somebody else to tell you. But he already told you. If you are waiting to hear from God for the first time now, after Pentecost, and you have the Holy Spirit, and you are still waiting to hear from God for the first time from somebody else, and that's a lack of understanding. The Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. 1 John 2 and 27. The anointing which you have received is no lie. And the same anointing is true, and it will teach you all things. And you need not that anybody tell you anything. You know, God will tell you directly. Now, if God has to send somebody else to you, it means you yourself, you're not paying attention. You know, so that's not a thing that we should be desiring. That, you know, God should send us somebody. I want a word from here. I want a word from there. You shouldn't be desiring that. It's a sign that you are not yourself paying attention to God. But God himself has given you the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you everything. You know, so what do you need somebody else for? You know, now, not saying that God doesn't use somebody else. He can. And you'll see it in this lesson. When and why he uses, you know, some of them is what I already told you. When we are not paying attention, God has to get our attention through somebody else or to encourage us. But he has already told you, but he will encourage you, you know, through somebody else. Now, these are some ways. Like, angelic visitation in Acts chapter 12, verses 6 to 9. God sent an angel to deliver Peter out of the hand of Herod, and he spoke to him. He said, get up in the middle of the night, you know, and all these things, you know. Chains fell off of him, gates opened to them, and so forth. Told him what to do. Angel spoke to him directly. In Acts chapter 27, verses 23 to 25, the angel of the Lord stood by Paul. He said, look, you know, they were going on a journey, told them, don't go, that's too risky. We're going to, you know, encounter storms, tempests, and everything. They didn't even listen to him. They went and they got into all those things. But the Lord sent an angel to comfort him and say, you know, Paul gave a testimony, said, the angel of the Lord stood by me tonight and said, you know, fear not, there shall no life be lost, but they must stay in the ship. And don't jump ship. You jump ship, you can't make it. Stay in the ship. Hallelujah. But the angel of the Lord spoke to him. But we don't see too much of that because the Holy Spirit is what we are given today to guide us. But he's still there. Now, here's a powerful one. Let me dwell on this today. I may leave the others till next time. But this one I want to dwell on today. The still small voice. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it is an incredible way that God will speak to us. God can use a lot of things. He can use phenomena. He can use circumstances. We'll come to that. It's one of the ways that I have written down here that God will speak to us. But still small voice. This perfect example story is in 1 Kings 19. And you know the story of Elijah. And in case you don't know it, read 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19. Elijah done all those things. Now he's running away from Jezebel and so on and so forth. And God, you know, he has an encounter with God at the cave. What doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah says, well, Lord, I'll be very jealous for your name because, you know, they have killed your prophets and now they seek to keep my life, and I am left. But Lord told him something, asking the same question again, repeated the same thing. And the Lord told him, look, it's not only you. I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knees to bow. You know, sometimes people think that the only one doing anything for God, or they're the only this. God said, no, you can never be the only one. I've got me a witness. God always has a remnant. You know, he always has a remnant. People latch on to God, stay with the Lord. And God told Elijah, look, I've got some people. But the Lord said, okay, but I'm going to give you something to do. Go over here, stand over here, I'm coming to you. And so let's pick up this story in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. And when God finally came to him, well, there was a lot of phenomena. You know, God, when he goes, thunders can go with him, lightnings can go with him, fire and earthquake and all these things can go with him. But what he wants to show you is in his word. We're told, you know, in this story and powerful lesson, that, you know, God came to speak to Elijah, and he was going to get a very, very significant visitation and preparation for the next phase of his life in this encounter. But it wasn't all of the drama. The Lord said to him, go and stand forth upon the mount before the Lord. 1 Kings 19:11. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. See? I mean, the Lord is coming, mighty shaking, heart rending, things breaking, and everything, and all these things happening. But look at the commentary. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind, there was an earthquake, earth-shaking experience and everything. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Oh my goodness. Well, they accompanied the Lord. And the Lord's trying to show us something here. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. And to say, I've seen the fire. I've seen the presence. I've seen all of this. But the Lord, in this particular case, was not in the fire. And then after the fire, there was a still small voice. And that's where the Lord was at. And so it could have pleased the Lord to speak to Elijah with the wind, with the earthquake, and with the fire. But the Lord chose to come to speak to him and give him this incredible understanding of what was ahead through a still small voice. It was a lesson for us. So we see that there is that still small voice that can speak to you and speaks to us a lot. In fact, as the way that God speaks to most of the people, most of the times, is that still small voice. But all the fire and the earthquake and the wind and so forth can drown out that still small voice. So, you know, if we're not careful, because it's a still small voice, all these other noises around can drown it out. Even the experience that Moses had in Exodus 3, when God showed him the burning bush, God didn't say anything to him. at first. You just allowed him to see the burning bush. And until Moses turned aside, the Bible says that Moses said, what is this thing that I see here? How come the bush is on fire, but the bush is not consumed? And the fire is not spreading. The fire is just localized in this one place. What kind of thing is this? I must now turn aside and see this great sight. Well, the fire was to catch his attention. But he had to come aside not to hear the voice. Hallelujah. But we got, don't be distracted by the phenomena that may be around the presence of God. Wait for his voice. Hallelujah. Now, some of us, we say, I saw the glory cloud today. The glory of God descended, and you run off and shout the victory, tell the testimony. Oh, my goodness. You needed to have seen the glory of God come down in the service. And it was so great and so forth. I saw the pillar of fire. I saw this, I saw that. But what did he say to you during all of that time that you saw that? Most of us just run off. When we see the fire, we run off. When we see the glory of God, we run off. We do not wait for the still small voice. You got to wait. God is using all those things to catch your attention. He may not be in those things, but he will always be in that still small voice. So when you see the glory cloud, when you see the fire, when you see, all these phenomena around God, it is godly. It's from God. But it doesn't define God. It's defined by his word. Hallelujah. Got to wait for that voice. Now, that still small voice speaks to all of us. Some people call it, conscience. Some people say, I've been teaching people on this platform never to refer to it as something. People say, something said to me, something, never call him something. Something said to me, something said, this is what people say. It's not something, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It's your Father in heaven speaking to you. You got to recognize him as that. Don't just say something. The next time you catch yourself saying something said to me, correct yourself right away. It's not something. It's God's still small voice. And we need to recognize it as that. God is not a something, so that God speaks to us through that way a lot, but we mostly say, something spoke to me. Well, it's not something. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. This is the one that people say something spoke to me. He said, God said, you will hear a voice behind your ears. Yes, that's saying still small voice. When you're at a crossroads, you don't know what to do. Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I do this or not do that? Well, God already said you will hear a voice. So look for that voice. Hallelujah. He has promised it. So why are you there thinking, I'm not hearing the voice? He has promised that you will hear it. And if you don't hear the voice, look for another way that God is speaking, because he's speaking in many of these ways. Look to the word of God. He may already have told you something in the word of God. That's why you're not. He won't tell you anything else because he already told you. Jesus said, look, they said, tell us, are you from this? Who are you? And said, I told you already, but you didn't hear. Why will I tell you again? He said, tell us. I already told you, but you didn't hear. And you couldn't hear it because you are not of God. If you are of God, you will hear my word. So when we are not hearing, and you say we're not hearing from God, it may be because, we didn't search the scriptures. Maybe he already told you in the scriptures, but you didn't search the scriptures, so you say, well, I already told you. Why should I tell you again? Go read it. So go search it out in the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Now, it's called number 7. It's called this internal witness within our spirit. It can be a still small voice. You can hear it. That voice you actually hear. It's not just in your mind. You hear it. Or it could be something in your spirit. And sometimes people say impression or this and that. God impressed something on my heart. It's still the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16, and also Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul is talking about how the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit, give all this thing we call internal, I call internal witness within my spirit. It's a God bearing witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with our own spirit. We're the children of God. It also bears witness. When he's telling you something, bear witness that that's from God. You know, bear. So God can give you that witness within you. That's another way he speaks to us. And look, he clearly says, you know, that the Holy Spirit is the one that plays the major role even in all of that. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God, then we are none of his, he says. But if you do have the Spirit of God, then we are him. We are in him. For as many as are led, you know, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you have not received, you know, any spirit to put you into fear. You know, but you have received, you know, the Spirit of Christ. You know, but earlier on in verse 9, he tells you, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, if the Spirit of God is in you, if you claim you have the Spirit of God, then you are no longer in the flesh. And don't be in the flesh. Be in the Spirit. Don't try to be in the Spirit. Just be in the Spirit. We've been talking about that. You know, just be in the Spirit. And now you say, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, it's none of his. So, but if you have the Spirit of Christ, then you are part of his. And he will speak to you. And sometimes a gut check. It's like a gut check inside. You know, a bears witness within your spirit. You know, it said the Spirit of God itself, you know, beareth witness with our spirit. So, you will bear witness. This is for Romans chapter 8, verse 16. That's how God will bear witness within your spirit. He says the same thing, you know, in verse 9, in this place, I mean, chapter 9, verse 1, in this place, he calls his conscience. Well, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So the same thing, Holy Ghost and his conscience, Spirit of God and our spirit, the same thing. That's the internal witness, see. And, the, you know, the more we exercise ourselves in the things of God, in the word of God and so forth, the sharper that internal witness will be, you know. Because now you know the word of God. You know, the word of God is active in your heart. That witness will be sharper. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit functions more in terms of leading and speaking to us when our hearts are filled with the word of God. That's right. But if our hearts are filled with nonsense or things that don't edify, things that actually grieve the Spirit of God, it's unlikely that you will have this experience of the Spirit of God connecting with your spirit, giving you a witness about the thing. You know, and that witness will also bring peace. If it brings anxiety and confusion and fear, then it's not from God. Because God is not the author of all of that. Say, our God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. So whatever is going on in witness in your heart, if it brings bondage and fear and all of that, that's not from God. Just toss that. But if it brings peace and assurance, you know, say, my people shall dwell in quiet resting places, in rest and assurance forever. If it brings that assurance to you, then yes, you can be assured. And it's a connection in your spirit with him that you are the child of God. I'm going to leave it here because of time. Looked up now and I saw that, wow, my goodness, time has really gone away from me. So, I have covered 7 things, mostly 6, you know, that we are talking about, but 7. Number 1, how God spoke to people directly in the Old Testament. He can still speak to you, but that God is the Holy Spirit. So it's actually included in some of the other ones we saw. Number 2, the written word of God. You can't. There is no other way. There is no final arbiter. Beginning and ending is all in his word. Number 3, you can also speak through the spoken word. You know, but expect the spoken word only if you are obeying the written word. Now, you know, we can see that in the Old and the New Testament, or at least in the story of Jesus, he actually called some people directly. So that gives you an insight to this question about, what is God calling me, and so forth. If he wants to call you, he'll call you, and you will know it. There will be no question about it. We've seen number five, angelic visitation. Sometimes, not a whole lot, but sometimes, we see that. Then we see the still small voice, powerful, powerful stuff, which we just spoke about. And then the internal witness. And you can hear that voice. Some people said, I heard his voice. Oh, yeah. But God wouldn't yell, even though his voice is like many thunders and waters. Sometimes when he wants to communicate with his will to you, a still small voice. And the internal witness that you have, that's number seven. I'm going to, cover the rest of these methods by which God can speak to us and we know the will of God and his purpose for our lives. We'll cover some more tomorrow, but on account of time, time's already gone. I've spent a lot of time speaking already today, so let's leave that there. I'm going to pray over the room. I pray that as we're going through these lessons, you're catching one thing here or one thing there, and as always, check it out with the Word of God and see whether it makes sense. And it aligns with the Word of God. That's what makes sense. If it aligns with the Word of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for all your children that have been listening. Thank you for both the speaker and the hearers and others that will speak as well. Sanctify our words, Lord. You said, I have revealed your words unto them. I've explained your words. You said, I have shown them your words. I've given them the words that you gave me. That's what Jesus said. He said, thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Lord, we have given them, I've given to your children the words that you gave me on this topic. Sanctify them, therefore, Lord, by thy word, because thy word is truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.